Good evening, everyone. I'm Pam Stack, your host. Welcome to Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. In a special treat tonight, I have one of the most popular book reviewers for the romance genre with me. Lorelei of Lorelei's Lit Lair is going to tell us the secrets to writing a really good review, the things that attract her attention to books, why they work for her and why they don't. We're going to talk about covers and blurbs and synopses. So stay with us. We'll be right back with you in just a second. Welcome, everyone, to Wednesday night on Authors on the Air. I'm so happy that you're with me. Take down the phone number to call in. We're going to open up the switchboard immediately. The number is 347-633-9609. That's 347-633-9609. Lorelei is the creative director of Lorelei's Lit Lair on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and WordPress. She tells me she's married to her own Prince Charming and is the mother of three wonderful overachievers and a Pomeranian named Minuet. I love that. She enjoys reading and socializing, music, and Zumba. I didn't even know that was still a thing. We're going to go ahead and talk to her about how she became a book reviewer and how she is planning to teach the everyday reader how to write a really good review. It's my pleasure to welcome to Authors on the Air, Lorelei. Hi, Lorelei. How are you today?
Hi, Pam. How are you? It's such an honor to be on your show today.
Oh, please. I'm thrilled that you're here. Welcome, welcome. How's everything going for you today?
Oh, well, it's just thrilling. This week has been just excitement after excitement after excitement, being on the show and having events, and I guess we'll talk about it all,
as the evening unfolds,
yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah. I love the fact that you say that you are gifted at matchmaking readers with stories. I think that is so awesome. So I know that there's a local bookstore where you have a Lorelei Recommends table, and you go ahead and change that table every so often, and we're going to hear all about that. But you told me an interesting story about how you started reading. Would you mind sharing with listeners the same story you told me?
Sure, sure. Well, I started reading as you all know, that I'm a mom and I have three kids. So as I was, raising the kids and everything, I never read for pleasure for myself. I just always read, like, for the kids and things like that, educational, inspirational, how to improve, self-improvement books and things like that. Mm-hmm. But then my daughter in high school, she said she bought the last book of the Twilight series. And I said, oh, what's that book? I says, oh, it's a series. Everybody's reading it. And I say, oh, but why are you buying the fourth book? Did you read the first three? She said, no. And I said, no, honey, let me go to the library. Let me get you the first book. And then you start from the beginning. If there are four books, you have to start first. You can't go to the end. So anyway, she got busy, and I checked out the book at my library. And I asked her, by the way, what is this book about? And she said, oh, it's about vampires and werewolves. And I was like, okay. And like I said, I never read for pleasure before, so I was just curious. I said, okay, let me see what it's about. Well, I just opened the first page, just to read, to skim through, and I was just drawn in. And I read four books in 7 days. And they were not, you know, how the Twilight books are. Those are, like, big. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't,
yeah.
I couldn't, if you showed me a Harlequin novella or a small tale, I'd say, no, that's too much for me. And I went through the four toms, the four books, in, like, 7 days. And that was, like, a switch in me flipped on. And I said, oh, my gosh, this is wonderful. I love it. And so I said I wanted more. But, I, you know, as a reader, I said, okay, where, who do I read next? I was like a brand new reader, and I was drawn to the story because of the suspense, but also because of the romance. So I tried the same author, Stephanie Meyer's next book, because I figured if I liked the four books, I would like the next one. But it just didn't draw me in, I guess, or I couldn't understand it well. It didn't appeal to me. So I went to the library, and I was going to ask the librarian, okay, I want to, what romance or what books can you recommend for me? And, like, you know, just look at a library. It's, like, filled with thousands of books. So where to start? So I went, and I said, okay, let me start alphabetically, you know. So I went to the to those carols, you know, and I started with the A's and the B's. And, you know, I would look at book covers, and then, you know, I'd pick one out, and I'd, you know, okay, this is paranormal, I may like it, you know, so I would read. And then as I went along, you know, I enjoyed them. Some covers are a little bit, you know, different than the others, so some are a little bit more, how do you say, sexier. The others are a little bit more conservative. The other ones have the dogs on it. So anyway, I was going through them, and until I found one book that was when I reached the H. And but I had devoured first, you know, like Susan Brockman, Sherry Adair, you know, with the C. Oh, Robin Carr. You know, I went down and down. But when I think I had read one by and it just had me, like, in tears, and I was upset. You know, I was, like, crying and crying. Well, not even crying. I was, like, bawling. And then I, you know, I said, okay, I need to find a book that'll make me happy because this one didn't make me happy. So when I got to the age, I saw this book with a couple and a puppy, and I said, you know what, this one, I'll give these a try. And there were only four at the time of the author on the shelf, but I just read it, and it was the just right. You know, like Goldilocks, you know how, and the three bears,
sure.
The one bed's too soft.
Absolutely.
And the other one's too, you know, and then you find
the
just right.
Just right. Sure.
And the third one that was just right, and she had only four books out, or five at the time, and I read, and I just thought, I want to read more. So she had on her book, it's a Dear Reader page, and as I read that one, it says, dear reader, you know, somewhere in there it says, you know, if you like my book, please, you know, send me an email or, you know, write to me. I'd love to hear what you think. And so I went ahead and wrote to the author, and I said, you know what, I think you're a gifted writer because you've made me laugh, cry, sigh, and I had my happily ever after. And, you know, and I sent that email out thinking, you know, I may never get a reply, but it was just something I felt good about doing and how I felt at the moment. So I went ahead and I sent it out. And then I checked my email the next day, and I see her reply. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, the author replied. And I said to my friend, I said, the author I wrote to, she replied. My friend said, no, that's probably her publicist. I said, no, that's her voice. I could tell. I've read four of her books, and that was her voice. And
can
so,
you tell? Can you share who the author was, by the way?
That was Kristen Higgins.
Of course it is. Kristen Higgins is just one of the coolest authors ever, and she's so funny. And you know when it's she's writing versus when someone's writing for her. You're right.
Yeah.
Her voice is very. Her writing voice is what we're talking about. In case you're wondering, listeners, her writing voice is very specific. It's very unique.
Yes.
So you like contemporary kind of humorous romance. kind of contemporary women's fiction. And now Kristen is a New York Times bestselling author, and she continues to write. You continue to read. So how did all of that reading pay forward?
I'll tell you what. Yes, I'll tell you something. After she replied, okay, I was an average reader, and I think any reader, you know, they just buy the books or get the books, they read, and then they go on to the next.
Right.
And I don't think many readers attempt to reach out to authors because they thought the same thing like my friend said. Oh, it's probably the publicist,
right,
or they won't write back, you know. And it may happen
right
with some authors, but with others, you don't know. So
right,
having that feedback, and what was so important when she replied was that she got my attention, and it was like she took my hand, and, you know, like Narnia, and then she took me in through that closet.
Yes.
And I discovered a whole different wonderful world of romance writers who are so supportive, generous, you know, supporting causes and everything. And I'll tell you, when
right
I went to her Facebook page, you know, she said, okay, follow me on Facebook, and, you know, kept engaging with her, but I noticed she would recommend other authors to me, and
yes,
I would think, okay, she's only going to show me her books, you know, or talk about her books, and it was all the contrary. She would say, oh, why didn't you read this author, you know, or why didn't you try this one out? So I discovered that authors in the romance community are very generous in reaching out or, you know, recommending their peers. Which I don't know if that happens in the other genres so much.
Yes,
you know?
It does, actually.
So
it happens a lot in the other genres. As a matter of fact, as a whole, and I've gone to a lot of different conferences for a lot of different genres and all, but authors are very, yeah, they are such, the camaraderie amongst, whether you're at the very top of the list or you are just trying to squeak your way through your first novel, everybody is treated equally. Everybody is enthusiastic. They, you know, I've been to conferences that I've sat in classes where they have someone who's trying to learn craft, and then when the craft gets the craft class is adjourned, you go and you can chat with Lee Child and, you know, people like that.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah,
they're wonderful and very, very accommodating across the board. But I will tell you a
well,
little
I'm
secret.
I'm happy to hear that. I'm happy to hear that.
Let me share a little secret with you about.
Sure.
Well, wait one second. I want to tell you this about the romance writers, though. So
there
is an author named Hugh Howey who writes dystopian. So he writes post-apocalyptic books. He's very, very popular. As a matter of fact, he's on an around-the-world cruise right now. He's just leaving the Galapagos on a huge, huge sailboat. But anyway, Hugh lives in Florida also. I don't know if you know that. Lorelai and I both live in Florida, by the way. So he lives up the East Coast. So he went over to a conference that was in St. Pete, a romance conference. And he said he'd been to tons of conferences and all, but he said it was the best experience of his life. He felt like he was back in the womb again. He said, man, romance writers just nurture you and they love you. And you go out of there with such a warm, fuzzy feeling. And I laughed and I thought, of course you do. They write romance. There's always a happily ever after. So,
yes. And that's
how
what I like
all
when
of this love and support from Kristen Higgins turn you into Lorelai of Lorelai's Lit Lair and become a reviewer. What is the genesis of that?
Well, after she, you know, I read all her books, and so she would recommend other authors, and she said, you know, why don't you try this one? So, I'll, you know, I started reading, I think one of the first authors that she recommended was Nancy Robarts Thompson, and I read her book, and I said, oh, I really enjoyed her story. Can I contact the author? Because this is new to me that authors, you know, interact with their readers. So she said, sure. So again, I found her on Facebook and I sent her a message and, you know, and then I noticed how authors engage with readers, you know. And then to a point where I offered, you know, I said, oh, okay, I'd love to, you know, read or write a review for you. So, you know, then I had PJ Sharon, which is a YA author. And so I wrote in reviews for her, you know, and she gave me a lovely shout out. I almost in tears because it was around Christmas time. And she said, you know, she had complimented or, you know, said dedicated, I can't remember now because it was a couple, like about 6-7 years ago now, but, you know, mentioned me and praised me. And I was like, oh, my goodness. So that was a lovely surprise, you know. And then, so again, recommendations, and I kept, you know, interacting with other authors and, you know, their engagement. And, you know, it became, I just loved supporting them, you know. And then what I loved about is I admired them so much, you know. A lot of authors, like, you know, in people in other careers, you know, they're a wife, mother, grandmother, you know, they have kids, some are widowed, some have pets, some don't, some are shy, some are introvert, you know. So I learned to respect and understand, you know, how they are, you know. So
absolutely.
So I started writing reviews, and then sometimes if there was an author that, for example, didn't appeal to me either because of the genre they wrote or, you know, or something in their story, you know, I felt I can't write a negative review because I didn't like it.
Right.
It's just that it's not
because
my match.
Right.
It's
absolutely
not a book
that
appeals
sense
to me. And the
right
beauty
doesn't mean it's
of
not going to appeal to somebody else. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. So it may not appeal to me, but then maybe to my friend or, you know, to other readers. And that's the beauty of the diversity, you know, that there is an author. I believe there's an author for every reader. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
For groups of readers. So, you know, even if I didn't like them, I think, you know, someone else will. So instead of, and nowadays, instead of me, like, saying that I write reviews, I do recommendations. So I like to recommend, because recommendations are always positive. So
sure.
I try to read, and based on authors that I enjoy, and if I find readers, and the story about matchmaking, and that's how I kind of started reviewing and supporting authors, is that I would read and I would know, kind of get a feel of what their writing style is and their voice, and then
yes.
I would ask people or readers that I would meet, I said, oh, what kind of stories do you like? You know, and then, you know, they would say, oh, contemporary, or like this, or like that, or military. Says, oh, why don't you try this one? You know, this author, she might be a good match, you know?
Interesting.
Or sometimes I may love an author and I'll tell somebody, oh my gosh, I love this author so much, you have to read this book. And then I hear back, it says, well, it was okay. I'm like, it was okay? I said, this book was awesome. And I'm like, yeah, it was okay. So, you know, that's where the matchmaking kind of is that I take. And then
when did you start Lorelei's Lit Lair? How long ago?
Okay. This happened as in 2012. I decided to separate from my personal home page to create a page where I can share with other readers of similar interests. Because
yes.
In my normal circle, I don't have many reader friends. So on the internet, on Facebook, there was this huge community of readers and, you know, and authors. So I was like, wow. So it's kind of like I found a book club in cyberspace. And not only that,
absolutely.
But also
it's a good
around
way to look
world.
At it. Yeah.
It's
sure.
around the world. So it was fun. It's like joining a book club and, you know, but it's global. And I feel it's a safe environment and you kind of follow, you know, the people, with similar interests, so, you know, and then we can share and, you know, about books, interest, you know, did you read this one? Yes, I liked it. So in 2012, I decided to make my friend page, Lorelei's Lit Lair, just so that I could have that community of readers and authors. And then, you know, the Facebook, the fan pages, I said, you know, in 2014, I said, you know, I'm going to take this to the next level, because it, I guess on Facebook it's just tricky because you, it, with the friend page, you, with the friend profile, you can't determine how much people engage or how they can
right.
see you, you know, because there's no
right, right.
statistics or insights. So I said, let me create a page. So I went and I did that. So I kept supporting the new authors I would discover, new to me or new to the genre, you know, starting out, and writing reviews for them because I felt that they deserved a voice too, or someone to help them get the word out. Aside, because, you know, books that are published, like from bigger publishers, those kind of, you know, the, because of marketing and all these things, they are more known than those that may be starting
out.
You know,
they have
word
more
of
bookshelf
mouth.
Space and everything else. Yes, of course they do.
Yeah. So so also word of mouth is just, like, I think the best thing for recommending, you know. So when I started the fan page, that was in 2014. That's the one where I have the lights. I started doing that. And that was a much better feedback for me to see, with engagement, reaching people, and also to do giveaways and things like that. So,
Well, I want to ask you now about reviewing, because I try to, you know, I try very hard to post about the importance of reviewing books. It is like giving a thank you note to the author whose book you enjoyed. And if you recognize that it may have taken anywhere from months to a year to write a book, the least you can do for the small amount of the cost of the book is to write back and say, thank you, I really enjoyed this. It, you know, it was terrific. It was a lot of fun, whatever it happened to be. So, you know, I'm
yes.
a firm believer in reviews and all, and I really do. So
yes.
I want to ask you just some questions, because when we spoke before and just now, you mentioned that, you know, you'd be going through the stacks in the library and you would look at book covers. And so it begs the question, because there are so many books out there, how important is a book cover to your choice of reading material?
It is very important, because a book cover will give you an idea of what the story should be about.
Okay.
And also, it will tell you how, if it may be steamy or if it may be, you know, a cleaner read, depending on, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. It'll also tell you maybe, I know it also tells you, like, the quality, you know. Like, there's some covers from publishers, you know, they're going to invest more on it. Also, some of them may be too revealing, so, you know,
okay.
they may draw away some readers.
Okay.
But it's, you know.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So so on a point scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, 1 being low, how important is a book cover?
Okay, after reading many books.
Nope.
I would say a 9 or a 10, an 8, 9,
okay.
or 10.
Okay. Now, when you're perusing books, again, you're in the stacks in the library and you're looking for a book, how important is it to see on the cover an author recommendation? Another author recommendation for the book. Let's say you don't know who the author is that is recommending it. how important is it to you that Jane Smith recommended this book and said something good? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, how important is that to you?
If I don't know the author, I don't know if it would, I would have to, if I know the author, if I don't know the author.
Yeah. No, it doesn't matter then, right?
It wouldn't matter. I would have to find out
and if
who
you
that
do
author
know
recommending
the author.
Is. If
okay,
I do,
so what if you do know the author? What if there is a book that you who and you've read the author and you're, you know, they're not your favorite, but you didn't hate them either. They're just kind of in the middle, and they're recommending a book to you. Does it matter? Will you choose a book based on
yes.
that? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, good. Because you said that you read books that Kristen had recommended to you. Now,
yes.
How about you're standing in front of the stacks again and you're going through books and you pull one out because you like the cover. It doesn't look like it's got a lot of sex in it. And so that is good for you. Mm-hmm. The cover works for you. It's not necessarily a name you know or maybe one you might have heard. So you flip over and you look at the back jacket and you want to read a synopsis of the book.
Mm-hmm.
How important is it for you to – how will that help you determine? Yes or no? Is it important in helping you determine that you're going to read the book?
Yes. It is because it will
okay.
give me an idea of what the story is
okay.
about.
Is about. Okay. Now, you've chosen your book. There's no author recommendation. It's someone you've heard about but have never read. You like what the story says on the back of the book. So you read the book and you like it. It's not the best book and it's not the worst book, but you like the book. When you're writing
yeah.
your review, do you take into consideration the book cover, the synopsis, and the story?
Yes. And what I try to do, let's say for my reviews, if I really love the book, and I will try, there are many ways that I write reviews. And this is based on what the book brings out or inspires me to say.
Right.
So, for example, there's no one set way to write a review, I think. And
right.
So right now I'm working actually on tips on how to help readers write reviews. So it's making writing reviews made easy. And there can be different
mm-hmm.
ways. There's some ways that it could be from the story I can get descriptive words will come from the story, and that's what I'll use to write my review. And the other one, it could be that kind of like a synopsis of how,
yes.
what the story is or how it can
right.
help. What I don't like, I can tell you what I don't like writing in a review is a summary. I like to express
okay.
how the book made me feel.
Okay, so you'll write, in other words, you'll write an objective review which says this is the synopsis, and then you write your subjective review which says this is how it made me feel, this is how I feel about the author's writing style, and so on and so forth. So you have one that tells a little bit about the story, and then your second paragraph may be your opinion of the book and the author's writing style in your opinion, correct?
Yes. And
it's part of
what
that
I
review.
My reviews are short. My reviews
right,
may not
too.
Be more than a paragraph because
yeah.
I just want to let the person know. I keep mine
right.
short because I don't know if you do this, but when you go on Amazon and look at reviews, if it's too long,
people
I
don't read them.
It.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, you and me both.
So,
I think Amazon tells you just need 20 words and that's it. That's all you need to do for a review.
Exactly.
And so you can really sum it up in two sentences, you know, or one really long one. So, Lorelai, so I'm trying to get some guidelines here so that authors will are hearing what you're saying from a professional reviewer standpoint. So this is what I've noticed sometimes. I notice there are authors who, when they make their cover art, they make sure that as close as possible that the vision of their characters, and especially in romance, matches the characters in the book. So if it's a redheaded woman and a black-haired man, their cover art reflects a redheaded woman and a black-haired man. But then again, I also know that there are other books that do not do that. Does it take away any points in your way of thinking if the cover art does not match the story inside, particularly if they're displaying pictures of the characters?
Yeah, well, for when the covers, when they don't match, and I want to say this first, because I've asked this of authors as well, and sometimes the authors don't have a say.
Right, I understand that.
On what what can be on the cover, and others they can.
Right.
Right. And it's good that it does match, because when I go to pick up a book to read, I am picking the book because of what I see. So the book cover is important because it'll give me an idea, you know, if it's up in the mountains and if they're, you know, happy or, you know, a couple. And even though many book covers have the couple's faces, you know, like you can see them, sometimes it doesn't matter, but I prefer not to see. I like it better when they chop their heads off, you know, when you don't.
Right, because you want to envision your own character that way, correct?
Yes, yes. And I may not like the model, that they have on the cover.
I hear you. Or you may have seen the same model over and over and over again, like the same hunky guy or something. I noticed that a lot. I've seen covers. Two books that I read within 30 days of each other had exactly the same cover art, and I know that that's what happens. I'm not stupid. It's stock photos and everything else, and not everyone can afford to have original art. So that's an understanding.
Yeah.
I want to move on just a little bit, because what you have to say I think is so important. How important is the title of a book?
It is. It's important. Because it conveys what the story should be about, you know, if it's about a dupe or if it's about feelings or something, you know, it gives you a feel of what the story is going to be about, you know? It's going to be a happy one.
When you review, so here's what I want to know. When you review, strictly from a reviewer standpoint, does the title of the book and the cover art make you count off if you don't like it, if it turns out not to match the story inside?
No. I think what the title and the cover is what will draw me in first to pick it up. But I think
if I read
the story, I think it won't count as much. I may look at it overall. And actually, for example, there's a book that I really, really loved, it was by Claudia Connor, but she has ebooks. She didn't have prints. Now she does, but at the moment she didn't have. And the cover is a guy, you know, with six packs and, you know, hunky.
Right.
And I picked it up and I said, I don't know if I'm, you know, going to read it or not. But then I read the blurb and I was intrigued by the story, and I said, okay, I'll give it a try. And I read it. And to me, the story was much more than what the cover, you know, because it's a hunky guy.
It's always a nice surprise, isn't it? Yeah.
And then I told my friend, one of my reviewers, I said, you know, I want you to read this book. And normally if I know someone says, oh, no, I'm not going to read anyone with, you know, a shirtless guy. Or I said, no, just don't look at the cover. Just read the story and just tell me if you like it. And she did, and she loved the book. She loved the book.
Yeah.
So
So you can't always judge a book by its cover, but if the cover is bad, you make a judgment because there are so many other books, right?
Yes. And actually, I wrote a review, a review for that book, and I said to conservative readers, don't let this, you know, don't pass by this book because, you know, of just, you know, because of the sexy cover.
Right.
Because it's just a great story,
Interesting.
You know?
Okay, so let's go on, and I want you to tell what your top three tips are for people who want to write a review.
To write how the book made them feel, because I think that will give the reader, you know, anyone going through the reviews to see how the book made them feel. Another thing, to use descriptive words. How would they describe the story, you know? So if it can give, you know, a reviewer or the person reading that may want to try it, okay, is it steamy? Is it, you know, a cleaner book?
Okay.
Is it a sweet story? You know, kind of the heat level of the book. What's another thing? And would you recommend it? And would you read more books about that author? You know?
So let me ask you this. When you write a review, is it important to say, this author's writing reminds me of stories by and name, make a comparison with another author? Is that helpful?
Yes. Yes, that can be helpful too. That's kind of like saying, okay, if you enjoy, you know, Kristen Higgins, maybe you'll enjoy, you know, this story by Tracy Brogan,
right,
because they're kind of like similar, you know, the same thread. So
that's a good idea.
You know, yeah.
What should reviewers stay away from? What should they not write in a review?
They should not say, to give away spoilers, like what the story is about, in a way.
Yep.
Because the blurb, what I do when I write a review sometimes is I'm having trouble on how to express, because sometimes I love a book so much, it's just because I love it, but I can't say I just love it, you know? So what
right.
I do is that I'll go to the back blurb, and then I'll take from what is shared from the blurb, from the, you know, from the
right.
back page.
The synopsis, right,
and
right.
The synopsis, and then go from there and kind of reiterate, you know, that yes, you know.
So we don't want spoilers. We don't want trolls either, do we? We don't want people saying, oh, this book was badly edited, or you don't know how to write, or it really stunk, and all that, because...
No.
It might just not be your cup of tea, right?
Exactly. So it's better just to stick to the blurb, how it made you feel, what you, you know, if it's a romantic comedy or this was hilarious or, you know, you may cry a lot or, you know, or it's funny or, you know, it's a good beach read or however it makes you feel, you know, what comes out
right.
of this, what it brings out from the story, you know?
What emotion it invokes with you.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yes.
Lorelai, tell everybody where they can find you on the webs, please, your WordPress site and everything.
Okay. You can find me at loreleislitlayer.wordpress.com. I'm also on Facebook. I have a friend profile, and I also have the fan page, which is the personal blog. So, again, it's on www.facebook.com/LoreleisLitLayer. I'm also on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, although I haven't been there that often, but also you were mentioning about the table that I have, the Lorelei's Litlayer Recommends
yes,
table.
Let's talk about that.
That is not actually at a bookstore. It's at my public library.
Oh, how fun.
And,
that's even better.
Yes. Well, that's where I started. That's where I started, you know, reading, and so it was with books. And I wanted to share something about the difference between the readers on social media and the ones in the community. And I do have a table at the library, and this is because of the support that I've received from the Orange County Library System, the library. This is the Alafaya Library. And last year, I was invited to a blog as a guest reader at a Reader Romance Month, and I had shared this, my excitement, with the library manager, and she said, "Oh, how fun!" She offered, says, "Well, maybe we can do, you know, like a setup here at the library," and I was just like thrilled. You know, I said, "You sure? Yes, we could do that." And so,
how wonderful!
I said to the authors, because on the blog I was going to recommend authors, but I said I can't just recommend two or three authors. I have to recommend more. So I decided to recommend 31 authors, and those authors, when they heard about the library setting it up, I had asked if they wanted to donate books so that I could have my own giveaway at the library. So they went ahead and sent books, and the library manager, you know, at the end of the month, we did giveaways. So 16 patrons got books. So the following year, she said to me, "Oh, we can't have that event because it's voting time, but how about we do a romance wine and chocolate event?" And I said, "Oh, that's great." So I got in touch with a group of authors, and we had 13 authors come, including Roxanne St. Clair. So we had 13 authors and shared it with the community. We had wine, chocolate, books, and giveaways galore. And the community got to learn a lot about romance authors. And they were very impressed. And so, you know, I got to see that readers that are in the community don't know about this internet or social world, or that authors interact with readers, you know, that some authors interact with readers. So year, we continue. We're going to do again the Romance Wine and Chocolate event in September. But I started in the beginning of the year, in February. Tomorrow I'm going to have an event there too, in April and in May. So I'm inviting authors to come in and share with the community. So
sounds like
since
fun.
I'm having
I
that,
want to ask you, are your events all on your WordPress site, by the way?
Yes. It's under
good.
Live events.
We're almost out of time, so I want to ask you a couple quick more questions. Are you going to be at RWA in Orlando?
Yes, I am.
Okay. We have to look for each other, okay, because there's three of us.
Oh, definitely.
In the network, so we'll
I'll be
there.
The one with the big smile.
You and me both. I'll be the one with the red hair. Okay, great. So I want to, first of all, thank you very much for being my guest today. I know you could go on forever and talk about your love of books.
Yes.
You and me both. Yes. I love books so much, and I read so much too. So I'm so glad that you came on. I think your tips are really valuable. I hope
thank
that our
you.
Listeners will start to review, and I hope more authors will find your page too. And you'd be surprised. There's a lot of really good stuff out there that's not gory, and it's really exciting, and it's kind of cutting edge with a little bit of romance and a little bit of mystery too. So don't be afraid to, you know, for listeners too, you know, expand your genre there. I mean, dip your toes in the water of other genres. You're going to love it. Lorelei from Lorelei's Lit Lair, thank you so much for being with me tonight on Authors on the Air. I
thank
so appreciate
you.
All your
can
time.
Can I just add one more thing? And I don't know if you know this,
sure.
but at RWA this year, the Librarian of the Year for RWA is the library manager of my library. Chief of Fear of Orlando. She won for her support and for letting me have my little virtual, well, not a virtual, a real live, you know, Lorelei's Lit Lair table to share with the community. And this is why I'm doing this, so that to let the community know about RWA so that they can go and attend the literacy signing in the summer.
Wonderful. Well, I, you know, Lee County where I live, the library, the librarians put on Southwest Readers Fest, which was just 2 weeks ago, and it's a ton of fun, and I get to meet all kinds of wonderful authors that I love too. So three cheers for librarians. They are really our heroes, aren't they?
Yes, and actually I think Library Week is next week, I think beginning April 9th, around there. So a big shout out to the librarians and, you know, getting the word out and connecting readers with authors and all the fun. And thank you so much.
Thank
Pam,
you
for
so
having
much,
me.
Lorelei. It's my pleasure. And please come back again. You and I will talk soon, okay?
Definitely.
And thanks
thank
so much,
you.
Listeners,
thank
for
you.
Being with me tonight. I so appreciate it. I will see you again on Friday night. Thanks to Lorelei from Lorelei's Lit Lair. And thank you, Mom and Dad. Good night.